Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Sword and Trial. Today, Graham and I get to talk about one of our favorite subjects, and that is children. Graham is in the process of raising children. I'm in the process of spoiling children as a grandparent. And we want to talk about children in worship particularly and how we've thought about that over the years. He's in the throes of it. Don and I have done that, and we now have the benefit of seeing others do that in the church. We want to help them with that. We want our whole church to be involved in helping children learn to worship God corporately in the gatherings of God's people. So help us by liking this podcast, or if you've not already signed up on your favorite podcast platform, we'd appreciate if you do that. We hope that this conversation will be edifying to you. Welcome to the Sword and Trial. Sword and Trial is a podcast of Founders Ministries, and Founders exists for the recovery of the gospel and the reformation of local churches. I'm Tom Askell.
And I'm Graham Gundon.
Delighted to have you join us today as Graham and I get to talk about something that's dear to both of our hearts, perhaps closer to Graham's heart right now at this stage of life for him, and further away from my heart at the stage of life I'm in. But nevertheless, both of us care about it deeply as pastors and as parents, and now as a grandparent, and that is children in church, or specifically children in worship service. Mm-hmm. Graham, you got three kids, yep. Right? And they are six? Five, three, and one and a half. Mm-hmm. And your children are with you and your wife regularly, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, yep, in our times of stated gatherings. So why, mm-hmm, in the world do you do that?
Well, we just kind of gloss over that part of the scripture that says fathers do not exasperate your children. No, I'm kidding. They are not exasperated at all being in the service. But we think it's important that children learn how to worship God. Mm-hmm. It really comes down to that. It's important that they learn how to worship God. And so we think it is important for them to be in the corporate worship gathering, mm, with all of the saints. Yeah. And they're able to hear the word, and you know, there's a lot that they don't understand from the sermon. They're able to sing with their parents and with their friends and with other adults. There's a lot that they don't understand about the words that we're all singing. They're able to hear prayers. But what they're able to do is they're living, they're planted in this soil, mm, of corporate worship. And the prayer is, the hope is, that they'll grow up in that soil and it'll just be a part of them and a part of their lives for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and we've seen that happen, actually. You know, I've been around here a long time, 38 years, and so I've actually seen kids come up who now have kids and doing this in another generation. But we don't do it willy-nilly, and we don't do it for strictly pragmatic reasons, though there are some very great benefits practically to it. But we think that it's good and biblical. We don't fight about this, and so we wouldn't, mm-hmm, say the churches that don't do it exactly like we are doing it are necessarily wrong. But we think that it is worth a conversation with our Bibles open. Because you think about the first century churches in worship. Mm-hmm. Well, what did they do when they gathered in worship? Well, one of the things they did is when they got a letter from an apostle, was they read it. Mm-hmm. And so if you had the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae or to the Ephesians, and that was being read in church, he addresses children in those letters. How are children going to hear from the Apostle Paul if they're not present? And so we think that there's good precedent right there. Mm-hmm. And in the days of Nehemiah, when God was restoring and renewing the covenant with his people in the Old Testament era, children were present, even for some very long periods of time. So we don't think that this is something that, you know, we just make up, or, hey, this looks like a good idea. We've taken our cues from Scripture, and it's worked really well here, mm-hmm, in our church. We've done things differently through the years. COVID resulted in us not having a nursery that's staffed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Because don't have that.
That's right. No, we did it during the COVID scare. And then afterwards, as we got to thinking about it, so, you know, this has worked pretty well. So we have facilities that parents can utilize, but we don't staff a nursery. And man, that's been beneficial, because now we don't have people missing out on worship to watch after little kids. And yet it's created challenges. It's not, mm-hmm, easy. You know, if you've got a 6-month-old or a 1-year-old or 1.5-year-old, it's not real easy for them, mm-hmm, to sit through a worship service. So what do you do as a parent to help your children get up to speed and understanding that this is not going to McDonald's playground, mm-hmm, and we're going to church, and it's not going to be like sitting in the backyard?
Yeah. Well, we don't bring the iPad and turn Bluey on. I've seen some parents try to do that in church, and or grandparents try to do that, and it just doesn't work. What we do is, you know, you got to understand where your child is and their age and how much they can handle all at once. And right now we're at the point where with our boys, who are 5 and 3, through the worship service, and our worship service is fairly lengthy. It's not super short.
About an hour and a half. Something like that.
Yeah. And so what we do is during the singing, we expect them to stand and sing, even if they don't know all the words, that they're at least standing and they're kind of engaged. When we're praying, we expect them to be still and quiet, while we're praying. And during the sermon, we give them opportunity to like color and things like that, mm-hmm. that can kind of keep them occupied. It was interesting though, you know, just because they're coloring doesn't mean they're not listening to the
right,
sermon. And so they get all sorts of things from the sermon that when we talk about on the way home, we talk about it at lunch after church. You know, what did you learn in the sermon, especially this past Sunday? You know, you preached on day 5 and day 6 of creation, and well, you talked a lot about animals, and little kids love to hear about animals. And so both my boys were talking, oh, we talked about birds and we talked about things with short legs that creep on the ground, you know, all that. So they definitely get things, even though they're coloring, but the coloring will help keep them occupied. And you know, one thing that I should go back. One thing that's really important is kind of prepping Saturday mm-hmm. before. Making sure they get to bed at a decent hour, making sure then Sunday morning they get a good breakfast, because tired and hungry kids are grumpy kids, and they're hard to, it's hard for them to sit still and be quiet. And then in church, we have snacks for them as well. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of applesauce pouches, graham crackers, that kind of thing, which makes for then after the service, you know, our church has vacuums stationed in different places, because we have so many children, you know, more than 100 children in our worship service. And so after the service, I mean, they've made a mess all over. So I go and I grab the vacuum and I go and vacuum up our space so we don't leave a mess there, and try to clean up all the trash and everything as well. And it is a mess after the service.
Yeah.
So that's what we do with our two boys. With our little girl, she's 1.5 years, and you know, she doesn't color. She doesn't stand up and sing when we sing, and it's very hard for her to sit still for, you know, the whole sermon period. So what we do is we're kind of incremental with her, working with her to train her to sit in the service. So usually around the time the sermon starts, that's when she really starts to get restless, and so I try to have her there sitting on my lap. And if she starts really making noise and things like that, it starts distracting, then I'll take her out. And we have, like you said, an unstaffed nursery. But I typically don't take her to the nursery, at least not right away. Mm. I'll take her somewhere out in the narthex or somewhere like that where I can sit down and I can sit still with her and have her on my lap and help her understand what it means to sit still. And she'll make noise, and it's okay if she makes noise because we're out there and we're not distracting in the service. And go as long as we can doing that. Mm-hmm. And then eventually sometimes I'll let her walk around out there, or I'll take her to the nursery.
Yeah.
So that's typically what we do, at least in the service.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a great model, or that type of thing for parents to think about and how to do this, because you're playing a long game here. Mm-hmm. This isn't going to happen in a week or 2 weeks. You know, you're trying to shape and train these children just like you train them to walk, just like you train them to talk. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, all of these things is a process, and worship is not unimportant. It's vitally important. I think that as a pastor, one of the most important things to do is to help a church think through what it means to love children, that we ought to love children. If we don't love children, we're not like Jesus. I mean, Jesus mm-hmm. loved children. His disciples misunderstood the nature of that love and thought they were actually being good disciples when they were shooing parents and children away, and Jesus rebuked them and brought the children to him. And so, man, we ought, as pastors and leading a congregation, try to cultivate a mentality and develop a culture where children are loved and they know they're loved, where they are welcomed.
They're not second-class citizens.
No. And they're not a bother. They're mm-hmm. not a bother. And it just, it helps if you love kids. And, you know, by God's grace, he's put into our elders a love of children. I think most of our adults, mm-hmm. many, certainly the leaders, have that sense about them, that children aren't a bother. Children aren't an afterthought. But mm-hmm. we love children. We recognize that God's given them to us in this church with the families he's placed them in, and we have a stewardship that belongs to us to try to care well for those little ones. So that's huge. If you get that, you may do things differently than we do them, and that's fine. But, man, do it out of a motivation to love children. And so I enjoy kids, and so I don't mind getting down on their level and talking to them, listening to them as they explain to me what they learned in Sunday school or something that they discovered in their backyard last week or whatever. And to have that mentality is to have the, I think, it's to exude the spirit of Christ in the congregation. So mm-hmm. what we've tried to do is tell parents, look, we do this almost every Sunday. I mean, you yeah. do a lot of the welcoming, and I guess our other elders, we rotate through that some, but almost without fail, we'll say, look, if you're here with kids for the first time, you notice we got kids in the worship service, that is by design. Mm-hmm. This is not something because we can't staff a nursery. No, we want it this way, and we're okay with noise. Mm-hmm. You know, if they squirm and make a little bit of noise, that's all right. If you have to take them out, however, because we want parents to know it's not acceptable to let your kid just scream at the top of his lungs yeah. for the next 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
So if you need to take them out, that's okay. That happens. And here's facilities that you can use. Here's mm-hmm. things you can do, just like what you described. But to create an atmosphere where, hey, this is okay. This is good. This is normal. You're not going to be the odd person out when your kid squirms yeah. or your kid cries out. It serves parents. And there's multiple levels of benefit to this, and I'll talk about one or two of them. You might speak from a standpoint of a father with children, but one, it's good for the congregation mm-hmm. because so often, man, we're in such a subjectivized world where it's just me. What's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, whenever you join into a congregation that's got a lot of people not like you, and we're going to sing songs that maybe you don't prefer, that others prefer, and we're going to do things that, you know, if you were ordering the service, you might do it exactly the same way that it's being ordered, and now you've got parents with little kids, and those little kids are making noise, and well, you could immediately think, well, this is disruptive, this is a problem, I don't like this, why don't they keep that kid still, or whatever. But if you can think in terms of a Christian, what do Christians do? We prefer others above ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I prefer that family above myself? And when that kid acts up, I mean, anytime there's a distraction or some kind of noise, I mean, what's the immediate instinct is to turn and look.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we try to train our people is don't look. Just don't look. If a parent has to take a kid up, pick a kid up who's kicking and screaming and or a loud outburst and everybody is wanting to look to see what's going on, don't look, because that serves those parents. Parents already feel bad, feel embarrassed or self-conscious. And if you can just stay focused, it's good mental discipline for you to stay focused on those leading the worship and worshiping God. And it also sets the parents more at ease as well. So that's a good thing that happens to the congregation.
Yeah,
it trains us, gives us opportunity to exercise what it means to prefer others above ourselves, to serve parents, to serve children. Another thing is, man, whenever we're worshiping, and you don't have little kids, and there are little kids around you, and I've been in these situations where I feel like these little kids are in the rows in front of me, they're just staring holes through me, you know, and they're cute, and my temptation is to make faces at them, you know, because I love that, but to avoid that and to worship knowing that they're just sitting there watching you, what are you yeah. doing? Well, you're setting an example for them. Mm-hmm. I'm out last Sunday night, I was holding one of my grandsons, about 3 years old, and during the singing, and you know, he's about this far away from my face and his eyes are just zeroed in on me. And you know, when I'd look at him, he'd kind of look away self-consciously. So I just quit looking at him and I'm singing and he's watching every muscle in my face move.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a little uncomfortable at points, but I'm thinking, praise God, you know, mm-hmm. he's seeing his paps sing to God. I want that
yeah.
for our kids in the church.
Thank you for joining us today for this conversation on the sword and the trowel. I wanted to make you aware and give you some more details on the regional conference that we are going to be having coming up here this July. That's July 26th and 27th, and it is the conference on family life in the negative world. Pastor Tom Askell, Dr. Joel Beakey, and myself will all be there speaking for that conference. It's going to be a wonderful time. You can go to founders.org/family life in order to register for that conference. It's just a shorter conference, a regional conference. It's just 2 days, but it's going to be a wonderful time. time of fellowship and thinking about what God has to say to us when it comes to how we are to live in families, be family members, and raise our families in an increasingly hostile world. What our kids experience has such a great effect upon them and going into their future lives, much more so than we think.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the dangers when it comes to things like children's church and, you know, you have your children leave during the main service is that over the years, your children are trained that the worship of God, the Christian religion, they'll begin to associate it with that's kiddie stuff. That's kiddie stuff, and that's what kids do, and that's what we did when we were kids. And now when they're out of that, then, like, oh, I don't want to be associated with religion anymore because religion – and it's kind of a sub – you know, it's not a – there's not something that they would say, but it's something in their subconscious that they think. You know, it's either that or, you know, in most – and this is not a bad thing – in most children's ministries and children's churches, it's very dominated by women because women are nurturing and women are very good at taking care of children. But especially with young boys, as they grow up, they begin to see church, they begin to see religion as a feminine thing. I want to be masculine. I don't want to be associated with that feminine stuff. And mm-hmm. so they leave the church. Or they begin to associate religion and worship with what is fun, because that's typically what we try to do. We try to make it fun for the kids so they can stay engaged. And well, if it's not fun, well, I don't want to be involved in it. And well, the world can give us things that are far more fun than what the church gives us, but the world can't give us anything that's near as satisfying as what mm-hmm. the church gives us. And this is one of the reasons why we've seen young people just leaving the church in droves.
Right.
Is because of what they have experienced in children's church, and all out of a good desire to bring things down to a level that children can grasp and understand and digest. And that's good and that's appropriate in its at certain times. But the corporate worship service allows a three-year-old grandson to look at his grandfather worshiping God and say, the Christian religion is for adults and it's for men.
Yeah.
And he's going to grow up believing that.
Yeah.
And he will be steeled and he will be able to say, yeah, if I want to be a man and I want to be an adult, the church is the place for me. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a vitally important point, the way you just kind of drafted that out. And in addition to it, we strike at the root of this idea that, you know, church is what's for me. Mm. So specialized for me. Okay, you know, I'm 4 through 6 years old, so what do you have for 4 through 6 years old? What do you have for 6 through 12 year olds? What do you have mm-hmm. for 12 through 18 year olds? And it's like, yeah, okay, it's all about you, and we're going to do things specially for you, rather than saying, no, wait a minute, Christ has told us what the church is, how the church is to operate, and we have Sunday schools for different age yeah. grades. We do all that. That's fine. But in corporate worship, we don't get to make it up, mm-hmm. and we don't get to specialize, you know, mm-hmm. for certain attributes or characteristics of the worshipers. There is a contextualization that inevitably takes place. Our worship services are in English and Spanish because mm-hmm. that's our context here. But it's not, oh, we're going to do this for the kids. We're going to do this for the teenagers. We're going to do this for the seniors. We're going to do this for the middle income or middle-aged kids with our parent or middle-aged parent or no, couples that don't have mm-hmm. kids. Or, you know, we're just not doing that. No, mm-hmm. we're the people of God. And so that's helpful. Another benefit that we've discovered over the years is whenever we have members that, you know, have their kids in worship, and if there's a problem, you know, if the kids don't have any special needs, and so we're trying to, you know, realize we got a lot of kids with special needs, and that's fine. We try to accommodate that. But if your kid is not in that kind of category, and there is a consistent and persistent and long-standing disobedience to parents. Mm-hmm. So if you got a dad sitting in church and he's got a 4 or 5 year old and the 4 or 5 year old is, you know, no, and screaming at him, the dad's shh, you know, and it just goes on for weeks and then months. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a pastoral concern.
Yeah,
that's a shepherding opportunity to say, hey, brother, you know, why is your son not obeying you when you give him a simple, clear command that he's able to obey? Mm-hmm. This is not something that is unique to church.
Yeah.
This is something that is being revealed mm-hmm. in this context. Whereas the situation could be such that if entertainment was provided or a specialized class was provided during worship, dad didn't have to deal with that. You might not know that. So for elders, it becomes a good opportunity to say, you know, we may need to engage here, or at least investigate and see, you know, if there's some a brother, a mother, a father here needs some help.
Yeah, and not even just elders, but, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ exactly. who are called to come alongside each other and live with one another and disciple one another. I mean, you know, an older father, an older man may see a younger man with young children really struggling and mm-hmm. may come alongside him and say, hey, you know, I've noticed that you've had these struggles with your children, and out of love say, you know, it's not acceptable.
Right.
And I'd love to help you work through this with your kids and try to figure out a strategy for really, you know, implementing some discipline and some respect and some obedience in your home.
Yeah.
And so elders and pastors can do that. And they, you know, typically church members will listen more readily to that, but you know, other church Everyone. Members can do that as well.
Yeah. And it's this plays into a larger responsibility that parents have with children, that's to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord. When you think about that, how will children learn to obey their parents in the Lord? Parents have to teach them that. Mm-hmm. They don't come out of the womb already doing that, and they're not going to get that and figure it out for themselves. They have to be taught that. It's part of the training parents are to do. And so to understand that your children will be far happier. They'll be more settled.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be more confident if they are living in a home where there is this loving discipline that is consistent. That mm-hmm. says, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad, and we're going to train you to love the right and the good
mm-hmm.
and the true way. And that means consequences, and not always just correction, but it does mean that we are going this way, not that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so where you have that, then worship services just become one more arena. One of the things in teaching your children to obey, which is, I'm convinced, that's the first lesson any kid needs to learn, is to obey his parents. You know, mm-hmm. that's what God gave you parents. Once you get that lesson instilled and begin to practice it at home, you know, in fun times and such, well, then you can take them to a restaurant. You can take them to the grocery store. You can take them to a park.
Mm-hmm.
You can take them to worship. It doesn't mean they're going to be perfect. You're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean that they'll be manageable and
yeah.
you'll be able to help them. So to see worship as not some kind of special thing that is suddenly off limits or in a category by itself that, you know, you yeah. don't need this. It's just one more area, and it's a very important area.
Yeah, a wonderful testimony that came to me just last week, a couple weeks ago. My two boys went with their grandparents to a different church out of town, just with their grandparents. Parents weren't there at all. And after the service, you know, their grandparents received compliments at how well behaved the boys were, and they were just kind of shocked that they would be able to sit there, a five and a 3-year old, be able to sit there through the service. But that's years of training goes
right.
into that, so that even when their parents aren't there, their grandparents are taking care of them. They're
yeah.
able to sit in a service and behave. And it, like you said, it seeps into all other areas of life. Them being able to sit in the worship service during church doesn't start in church.
No.
It starts, you know, at home.
That's right.
Being able to sit through, you know, a short family worship,
right?
Where you read the scripture, you sing, you pray,
yeah.
do catechism,
yeah.
or however you and your home organize that. And so they begin to learn that it's important to take worship seriously
mm-hmm.
and to learn how to obey at a young age. Say, hey, come here. Well, they know what come here means. And
right.
so they expect them to obey you when you say, come here,
yeah.
even at 2 years old.
Yeah. And, you know, we've done it different ways when our kids were growing up, but the way we settled into for the longest haul for family worship is to have a special time set for that. I mean, we would do it at breakfast or at dinner sometimes after the meal. But what we settled into is no, after the meal, after cleanup in the evening, we would have our kids sit down, you know, formally,
mm-hmm.
and we would take, when they were little, you know, maybe 5 minutes, doesn't have to be long,
mm-hmm.
but listen, we're going to worship God now. And so the little ones would have to sit on mom's lap or dad's lap, and the others could sit by themselves and read a Bible verse or two. Doesn't have to be long, you know, whatever their capacity is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to exasperate them, which sadly I did. You know, so we may link to that article. I think I wrote an article called Family Worship for Dummies because I was the dummy that made a lot of mistakes with it. But you do it in an appropriate length of time so that they know, okay, and now we're going to pray. Close your eyes, bow your head. And you pray, you don't have to pray 20 minutes, but you can pray 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And they learn that. Now we're going to sing Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. You can sing that one verse. Mm-hmm. And here's a catechism question. I mean, you can do all that in like 4 or 5 minutes, mm-hmm. but they know this is not playtime. This is not a time that I'm going to be playing with balls, or I'm going to get my truck out, you know, go across the floor. Nope, this is a time when we're kind of giving ourselves over to thinking about God. Well, you do that regularly. You know, if you're trying to do that as often as you can in your home week by week, then Sunday comes along. It's the same kind of deal. And especially Saturday nights. Man, one of the things, my wife is brilliant at this, is getting ready for Sunday on Saturday night, getting the clothes laid out. I mean, it was funny in our house. We would have clothes laid across the couch, you know, so everything from what they're wearing in their shirts and blouses to dresses and pants to socks to shoes. It's just, you know, if you believed in a rapture like that, you think, there it is, you know. And they're just
all the kids were sitting on the couch when the rapture boom, happened.
It just happened, yeah. So anyway, but she would do that so that nobody's having to look, you know, where's my shoe? Where's my belt? You know, all that stuff. It's all right there. And that we know we pray Saturday night for the worship service on Sunday. Pray for those who are going to be preaching. Pray for the Sunday school teachers so that there's a mentality. Oh, okay. I mean, Sunday's the most important day of the week. Mm-hmm. And what we do at worship is the most important activity of that Lord's Day. So those things have been helpful as well.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of The Sword and the Trowel. We wanted to make some resources available to you at a heavily discounted price. We've been talking about family worship and having your kids in corporate worship services. And so we have put a deal on these Truth and Grace memory books. You can go to press.founders.org and grab one of these for $5 a piece, volumes 1, 2, or 3. Just use code TAG when you go to press.founders.org. What kind of advice would you give to someone who, you know, maybe they have kids who are 5, 6, and they've not really done this, and so they're kind of already starting late. They're nervous that, okay, if I try to do this, my kids aren't used to it, and they're really going to struggle.
Yeah, well, I would say, first of all, it has to be a conviction on the parents' part. And so if you're new Christians, then you just tell them, hey, we've come to know Jesus, and he's taught us things, teaching us things. His word is true, and we're learning new things. If you've been a Christian, you've just neglected it, well, repent. And I mean, we've repented a lot over my life, sadly, had to repent a lot, but praise God, I have a Savior that allowed me to repent a lot to my children. Said, look, I blew it. And we went through some seasons where, because of me, we would go months. We had been engaged in family worship, and then busyness or whatever excuses I had, we wouldn't do it. And whenever God would convict and bring me to that point, go to him and say, look, I'm sorry, Dad sinned. I did not do what God's told me to do, and I've sinned against you, and I've sinned against God and your mom, and I've asked God to forgive me, and your mom's forgiven me. I'm going to ask you to forgive me, and we're going to start this again, or we're going to do this. So in terms of that, so that you're doing this in repentance, you're not doing this as somebody who's got it all together, and now then, you know, you guys have to do what I'm wanting us to do because I'm thinking rightly here and you're not. Again, I've been there. If you read that article, you'll see, sadly, my admissions to that. But just take God at his word. Lord, we want to honor you with this. And don't be overbearing about it. And don't try to have a 45-minute worship service where you pass the offering plates and have a pastoral prayer and a prelude and a postlude and a benediction. Just make it simple. Make it simple. Just what you outlined, you can do it in 4 or 5 minutes. Start there and do it regularly. Do it as consistently as you can do it, and recognize that you're on a journey. So it's not going to be perfect. There are going to be some days you're all going to be tired. You're going to miss, and that's okay. Just get up the next day and start over. You know, intend tonight we're going to do better, and morning whenever you have this. And acknowledge that you're doing this not because you're checking a box, not because you're trying to earn God's favor, but because this is right and good. This we have a God in heaven. Look at what he's given us. We ought to be worshiping him. So it's the mentality, I think, as much as anything, and then making sure that the logistics, what you do, is very simple. We used I think her name, the last name is Schoolin, Mary Schoolin, perhaps, Leading Little Ones to God. I think that book's just been reprinted and is available. But there's a lot of good aids that you can use that will guide you into a very simple structure of acknowledging God, worshiping God in your home. And just tell your children, this is the God who saved us. This is God who's given us his son. And of course we want to worship him, mm-hmm. so that it's not a drudgery to them. It's not something that they dread yeah. and they hide from. When it's done the way you guys do it, I had someone tell me just recently about this. Whenever you get into the pattern of that, and then you know something happens, and you say, "Okay, it's time to go to bed," you know, and you don't. They say, "But Dad, what mm-hmm. about family worship?"
Oh, it's happened. Oh, it's happened. Often it's, "Hey, I don't want to go to bed right now." That's oh, right. We forgot family worship.
Yeah, but still. Man, praise yeah. God for that, right?
Yeah.
So there are things that can be done. And then, man, find somebody who's done it. Mm-hmm. Find somebody who's further down the road than you are and just ask them. And ask people to pray for you. I mean, that's the value of a church mm-hmm. where you have people that are in this thing together with you. You're on the same page, moving the same direction. And you want to do what's best for your kids, and you're convinced this is a part of it. So you're not going to yeah. just treat it as a incidental activity.
Yeah, and when it comes to having your children sit in corporate worship and you've not been doing that with them, you know, from infancy, I've heard you say before that it usually takes 100 services right. to get your child acclimated to right. sitting through the service. And that 100 services doesn't start from their first week in church, right?
No, 100
services probably starts around a year and a half or so.
Well, but here's what I can say, though, that kids that are taken in early, they just don't know anything different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they mm-hmm. don't know anything different. And so they get it earlier. Again, all things being normal, and there's exceptions, and so I'm not talking about those. But yeah, if you start that when they're a couple of months old and that's normal for them and mm-hmm. it's not hit and miss,
yeah.
but it's just a rhythm of life mm-hmm. for them and they grow up with that, yeah, I would say even 100, 150 mm-hmm. Like that. And if you stretch that out over 2 years, well, it's going to be more difficult.
Yeah.
But if you're consistent Sunday morning in our church services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and that's just regular, you'll be amazed mm-hmm. at what can happen, because it's like anything else that you do in life. It's like going to bed. It's like eating. It's like mm-hmm. getting up. It's like taking a bath. Yeah. It's just a normal rhythm of life. And they're not going to be perfect at it. So parents need to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument, well, you know, they don't understand everything that's going on. Well, neither do all the adults, you know, so, I mean, that's not a barrier. They're getting more than you know, as you said, you know, they're coloring, they look like they're distracted, and then later on they recite something mm-hmm. that was sung or said mm-hmm. in the worship service. So they're like sponges. You just put a sponge under a spigot, turn the water on, you think, man, all the water is going down the drain until you squeeze a sponge. You say, oh, no, the sponge did catch some. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is with our kids.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can speed up the process, too, you know, especially if you're coming into it late. Your kids are a little older. It can be difficult. But you can speed up the process, too, by just, you know, practicing every once in a while during the week at home.
Right, absolutely.
Just like, you know, 10-minute, hey, we're going to, you know, you could put something on like a sermon or something for them to watch, or you could just maybe just read the Bible to them mm-hmm. or just say, hey, we're going to practice church.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just going to sit, we're going to be quiet.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, consequences for when they're not able to do that, but then also rewards when they do it well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like practicing obedience, mm-hmm. you know, where the pressure's off. It's not a life and death situation. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, stop, don't run out into the middle of the street or don't step on that snake. It's just, mm-hmm. hey, there's a piece of paper over there. I want you to walk toward it, and I'm going to tell you to stop. And stop. And they stop. Yay! You know, you just celebrate it. Well, you're helping them learn what that means, and certainly doing that to prepare for church, mm-hmm. Church worship, and let them know it's important. It's, so much of what our kids get growing up is caught more than taught.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be this commercial back when cigarette commercials were still legal and people trying to get you not to smoke. You
know, oh, those were the days.
Yeah, a dad and a kid were sitting under a tree, you know, and they're just sitting there having a great time. This kid's probably 3 years old or something. And so the dad takes out a box of cigarettes, you know, and he strikes one up and he's just kind of looking off. And he puts the cigarettes down. The kid picks up the cigarette box and looks at his dad. You know, takes a cigarette, and you know where this is going, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, well, that's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do follow the ones that God has given them as parents. And so I would just encourage every parent, man, look at this as a long-term project, a great opportunity. If you can train your children the mechanics of worship, what it means to worship, and they see you worshiping. So you're not just taking them to church and you're just sitting there like a stump on a log, but you're actually actively engaged in worship and they're around other church members. And again, I'd say this to fellow church members, man, we're focused on God. We're here for God. But what we do has impact beyond that. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about unbelievers that are overwhelmed in the presence of the worship of God's people with God. And we want that to happen. We want it to happen with our kids. You're serving your children. You just do it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And again, if you stick around long enough, and I've, by God's grace, have been able to see a couple of generations now raised up in this. And yeah, God uses it. This is a means that he very often blesses to salvation of generations after generations. And we want to see that. And God certainly is worthy of that. And to pastors, teach your children, teach your church to love children.
Mm-hmm.
Love children. Don't look at children as problems, as things to be endured. Man, love those kids. They got little souls. They're going to spend eternity somewhere.
And they are the future of our churches.
Yeah, yeah. And they're growing up in a world where they're going to need every advantage we can give them because, boy, the gloves are off and the enemy's coming against them in our culture. Well, we ought to talk about some books before we close out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a couple here I brought with me. Thoughts for Young Men, J.C. Ryle. This is for not just little kids, but this is for older boys, but particularly boys, because our culture has a war on manhood and on boyhood right now. And Ryle has a good antidote for that. So encourage, and we've taken, different men in our church have taken boys through this study over the years. Mm-hmm. And this is a newer book, Purposeful and Persistent Parenting by John and Cindy Riquette. And we actually interviewed them on Sword and Trial. Maybe we can link to that particular podcast so that you can just get more of their perspective. But it's a great book from all ages, starting from the youngest ages, about how to just teach your children to be obedient. So what books would you recommend?
We have right here our Truth and Grace memory books. These are we have three volumes for young and medium and older children. We have a couple copies of the first volume and it's in pieces, but we use it all the time. Every family worship, we're going through several questions with the kids and it enables them to memorize, you know, what is justification? What does God the Son undertake in the covenant of grace? Like, and they know the answers to those questions. They don't understand the answers to those questions, but they know it and they will one day understand. So catechism is very important. And those are extremely helpful books in that. I'd also just recommend, and this isn't a particular book, but stories, just reading stories to your children. Right now, we're currently reading through the Wing Feather Saga with our kids, and they're loving it. Just a testimony as to the power of stories. A couple weeks ago, watched The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe with our boys, and they loved it. You know, anything with swords in it, they love. But unbidden, you know, my oldest came to me the next day and said, I really like Peter. And I mean, that's incredibly powerful for a 5-year-old boy to just think, to be able to absorb that story and say, I like that person. Because what is Peter? What does he represent? Mm-hmm. Well, Peter is courageous. Peter is a leader. Peter gives of himself for others. Peter is humble enough to acknowledge his own failings and to repent of them. Peter is loyal to Aslan. And my son is looking at that and said, I like him, which means I want to be like him. And so he's able to look to me and say, yeah, that's my dad and I want to be like him. But to be able to reinforce that by putting before him virtuous characters that he can emulate as he grows. So the Wing Feather Saga is a wonderful story that helps children to see what a virtuous family looks like and the different people in the family. It's wonderful. And the Chronicles of Narnia is a wonderful story to take children through. The Little House on the Prairie series, we've read through that as well, or part of that. So I would definitely recommend good stories with your children as well.
Yeah, that's great. Great recommendations. Well, man, praise God for kids. There's so many valuable lessons. I mean, Jesus used them. We have to become like little children. We have to trust like little children. One of my favorite things to do with my grandkids now is just grab them by the hand and just walk. You just walk through the front yard. They see things that I quit looking at decades ago, mm-hmm. you know. And whenever you get down there and you look at these little flowers or these ants or these bugs, it's like, yeah, this is God's world. Mm-hmm. This is what God did. And through the eyes of kids, we can be kind of reanimated to the reality of this God who's created us and everything in it and done it for his own glory and for our welfare. So love children, serve children, help children to learn to worship God. And we have these resources, the Truth and Grace Memory Books, through Founders Press. You can order those. And if there's any other way that we can help you, we're actually producing more materials, God willing. By the end of this year, we will have several other pieces of material out for children as well, and our desire is to continue to expand that. So let us know if we can serve you in any way. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. If this has been helpful to you, we would appreciate it if you would spread it around or hit the like button. If you don't like it, hit the like button twice, because you do that. But we're grateful for all those who support us at Founders as well, and we look forward to having another opportunity to send a podcast your way.